You are listening to the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast, the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Here's your host, Tyus France.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast. I'm your host, Tyus France. Sitting across from me, as always, the great and powerful Alex.
Thanks for having me, Tyus.
Thank you for being here, as usual. Now, we don't have any video on this particular episode. We are going low-tech right now, so if the audio sounds a little different, that is because the studio is moving again, because if anything is guaranteed, that is change. And there's a lot of change for us to talk about. This is our first podcast of the new year, so we're going to be talking about some New Year's stuff. There is some big news in the federal government, so we're going to go over some of that. I had a run-in with Solar City this morning, so I'm probably going to chat about that. But let's lead off, and I'm going to pass it over to you. Let's lead off with what's going on with POT and the Libertarian Party.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to just give a quick shout out to an awesome activist. He's the Libertarian Party coordinator in Elko County, Sean Ferrix. And he organized and hosted, as part of the Elko Libertarian Party, a forum on marijuana dispensaries opening up in Elko. So he invited two councilmen that were against the measure to open up dispensaries and had the audience ask them questions. And what he really did is he provided, along with the Elko Libertarian Party, a forum for civic engagement. And that's what the LP is all about. I mean, as a third party, we have a limited number of elected officials. But one thing we can do is help bring your concerns to the attentions of elected officials. And this is something you get by being a Libertarian Party member, is you get access to our network of activists and lobbyists and this sort of thing, so we can talk about what you care about. And whether that's Steve Brown, Clark County Chairman, talking about the CCSD and how the district needs to break up and needs an internal audit and this sort of thing, or opening up of dispensaries in Elko, we have really pledged, especially this year, going into an election year, to provide a way for our delegates, our registered voters, to have that opportunity to interact with elected officials in a way that they may not have been aware of before.
And he absolutely killed it. So he had a live stream.
Oh, yeah.
He had little prep time. So anyways, big shout out to you. Thank you. Let's say we have a new year. We've got 2018. This is our first podcast of the year. And for me, so it became this thing where New Year's resolutions stopped being cool. And then the cool thing to do was be like, I don't have New Year's resolutions. I don't set goals that I don't intend to keep. But here's the thing. I went full circle. The clock has gone all the way around, and I'm back to setting New Year's resolutions because I like the idea of having a holiday, not really a holiday, a day where everybody gets together, celebrates, throws a party, and decides, you know what? Let's make ourselves better than we were before. So I've got some personal New Year's resolutions. I'm happy to explain what they are, but we should also talk about our goals for the party, maybe our goals for the podcast. I'll start off. So here's my personal New Year's resolutions. I'm going to read 100 books this year. I'm going to get down to 160 pounds. Oh my God, that's a hard goal. And I'm going to become financially free. And I got some intimate relationship stuff that I am not going to say on the podcast. Do you have any personal New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, I mean, similarly to you, I'm working on my fitness. I think that's always a big goal for a lot of us. I'm working with my brother to bulk up on muscle. So,
nice.
You know, in fact, I'll be going to the gym right after this. So I've been excited. And what's really cool for me is the first time in my life, this is a New Year's resolution that I kept all last year. And now my New Year's resolution is to keep going for this year.
That's awesome.
So I was super excited to finally, you know, keep a New Year's resolution for once.
What about for the party?
Yeah, so, you know, as everyone knows, and if you don't, I'm about to tell you, Libertarian Party of Nevada last year was the only party to see a year-end of growth. All other political parties in the state of Nevada that have ballot access lost voter share last year. The Libertarian Party of Nevada, meanwhile, gained over 1,100 registered voters last year in the total registered voters list, and we are only 126 people now away from 1%. And the reason 1%, I know we've said it on the podcast before, but I'll explain again. 1% is important because it's a real number to people. it's not fractions of a percent and who are you. It's we represent 1 out of 100 registered voters and growing. And that's really important to us. It also signifies in the state of Nevada automatic ballot access. And even though we've had ballot access for decades through candidates running successful campaigns to get over 5% of the total statewide votes in their district, it is still very cool that we will no longer have to rely on that. We will be able to say we have such a large and wonderful group of voters that we can absolutely maintain our ballot access and give people a third choice. You know, I know a lot of us came here because we were disenfranchised with the Democrats and the Republicans, not keeping their promises. You got spend Republicans, and you've got big war, you know, big industrial military complex Democrats. It's ridiculous, and nobody's really sticking to their principles the way we do. So we're going to continue doing that in the LP. We're going to continue providing you with a way to interact with elected officials. And obviously a big goal for us this year is to get someone elected to office.
Yeah, that's you what know, I want.
So be looking for that and be looking for more information. If you want to run for office on lpnevada.org/run_for_office, you will be able to learn more about how you can also run for office. If you visit the website on the front, you'll see one of the sliders takes you directly to that site if you're not able to find it. But definitely, if you're thinking about it, if you're like, you know, I'm not very happy with city councilman or a school board or a commission, even things that are appointed, please apply. You know, one of the big goals for us this year, Tyus, as you know, is to expand our ability to influence public policy. And one of the best ways we can do that is by having our 17,000 registered voters going out there and getting involved in their communities. Go to school board meetings. You know, never miss a public meeting that you wish you might have attended, right? If you think you might have wanted to, please go, because so few people go to these meetings. I mean, even at CCSD board meetings, we're talking about maybe 30 or 40 people. So just having a group of 5 or 6 libertarians show up and speak eloquently on why we need more pay for teachers and we need to stop the bloat of administrators in the state, you know, education system, you know, anything that you're super passionate about, please go speak. That will help us fulfill one of our New Year's resolutions together.
That's awesome. For the podcast, I'm going to shoot for something that seems to be much harder than it really is, which is regularity. I'm sorry, guys. I haven't been very regular on these podcasts, but that is a goal for me. And while there's going to be some technical challenges to get there, because it comes down to scheduling and things like that, there's going to be ways for us to do that, which I've got in mind. It's just going to be a matter of execution. The other thing I really would love is to create an inner circle. I want to find out if you're one of the passionate listeners that really enjoyed this podcast. I want to know who you are. I want to have conversations directly with you. I want to know what you're passionate about, what you want to hear more of. I want your involvement. So if you are a passionate person around this, please reach out to me, Tyus@lpnevada.org. And let me know what's going on. Let me know what you like. Let's get these people together. Let's organize. I know it's hard. They always say organizing libertarians is like herding cats. Well, you know what? Let's do it together. Let's herd each other. Let's get behind each other and get a unified message moving forward. So anyways, that's what I'd like to have happen for this show for this year. Let's talk a little bit about what went down at midnight of last night. Actually, before we get to it, and spoiler, the government shut down. So so I'd love to say that that's like a huge deal, but that's happened a lot before. This is not actually a new thing. It kind of always happens. And if, for the anarchists out there, don't hold your breath. It's going to reopen. You got maybe a day. It's not as big of news as it should
seem. Go collect that rainwater while you can.
Yeah. So, nobody needs to freak out. But Alex, will you tell me what led up to this? How this happened?
Yeah. Luckily, I'll give a quick shout out to Joe Henchman and Andy Craig, a few of the really really smart people I know that keep me regularly posted on Facebook about the developments on Capitol Hill. And they always provide a great explanation. This really came down to the fact that the government has to pass a budget, and this is actually a budget that began last October. And what they did then is they said, well, we'll pass what's called a continuing resolution that keeps the government open at the same levels as 2017, same budget, just, you know, keep spreading the, you know, the peanut butter out, if you will, right? And they stretched it out, and they gave themselves a deadline of January, well, I guess it must have been Friday. Yeah, whatever yesterday's date was, January 16th or 17th or whatever it was. So basically, what they did is they said, we need to pass a budget by then, a full 2018 fiscal year budget that would end in October 1st of 2018. And so what happened was is the Democrats simultaneously did this. Donald Trump last year rescinded, and we talked about this on the podcast, he rescinded an executive order from Obama, and that executive order from Obama said that those who came here as children of immigrants, illegal immigrants specifically, that came here as children, they had no choice, they didn't know what was happening, they were just, you know, hauled across the border, you know, at 0 to 5 years old, they grew up in American schools, they grew up in America, all they know is America, they don't have no idea about any countries that they might have been born in, those people were prevented from being deported by an Obama executive order, which Donald Trump rescinded, but he put a date on it 6 months later, which is in March. So here we have two deadlines, two different deadlines. And this is why I think it's been so confusing for a lot of people. You have a deadline in early March, and you have this deadline that just passed for passing a budget. The Democrats don't have any majorities right now. They don't have the presidency. They don't have the Senate. They don't have anything. But what they do have is they have an ability in the Senate to block the passing of a bill by not agreeing to pass the continuing resolution or the budget to continue to keep the government open. And the reason they stated for doing this is they want congressional Republicans to sit down with them and hammer out a way to keep what it's called DACA, but you know, they basically came across the border as children, illegal immigrants, to keep them from being deported. And until this legislation is part of or been passed or is part of what's been passed, the Democrats refuse to play ball with the Republicans on keeping the government open. So, you know, we'll see how this thing goes. The way it usually goes is both sides blame each other until eventually somebody blinks. Eventually the voters decide who was more at fault. Was it Donald Trump? Was it congressional Republicans? Was it congressional Democrats? Eventually someone will get blamed, and whoever gets blamed will feel like they need to. Now it's no longer politically useful to have the government shut down. So we have until that happens. We have until somebody blinks, I just can't imagine this happening, or they hammer out a compromise. But in the last few government shutdowns, that's never what's been happening. It's always somebody blinks, somebody feels the pain of losing 2018 midterm elections for being blamed for shutting down the government, and they just open it back up and pass that CR, and they do what they're going to do.
So now that the government is shut down, I mean, we should expect invasions by North Korea. schools are going to all close. All of those things are going to happen, right? The dollar is now worthless.
yeah, not exactly, of course, because as you know, even during government shutdowns, people who are in the military, though they aren't paid, are still required to come in and are still required to serve. People who work for Transportation Safety Administration, Homeland Security, the National Guard, all of these sort of crucial, quote-unquote crucial national government functions, those are maintained. But the reason you don't really feel the effects of this isn't that, right? You know, because North Korea knows that there's no way they'd be able to attack us. The reason that you don't feel this is because local government does everything. If your local government shut down, then you would want to panic, right? They provide water, electricity, sewer, trash. They provide schools through property taxes. They provide almost ambulances, hospitals. I mean, literally everything that you actually care about is provided by your local government, or their local government has private contractors that they've agreed to do this. Road fixtures. I mean, literally everything. I mean, there's very few things besides perhaps national defense, which is still active, that the national government does. And so this is actually sort of a celebration for most libertarians, because it reminds everybody that nothing really changes without the national government spending trillions of your dollars. nothing really changes. The only thing that really changes is that you have a chance to realize that state and local government does it all, right? And if they were to shut down, you'd really feel it, right? Because, I mean, everything you really truly care about. I mean, sewer. I mean, come on now. If that was the only thing that closed, people would be rioting in the streets.
Yeah. Detroit knows what's up.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, and this has happened so many times before. The last time it happened was our last administration. It happened when Obama was in office. During it, there's a very funny news broadcast where they were interviewing Donald Trump about who should be blamed for the government shutdown. And he, of course, said, well, you know, it all starts at the top, and you got to point your finger at the top. So in this situation, you got to blame the President of the United States. And now that he's in the hot seat, I'm sure he probably is not playing or singing the same tune.
How ironic.
Yeah, of course, right? But the world doesn't end. And, I mean, you know, you nailed it when you said it happens. Almost everything is happening on the local government. Now, a lot of things do get some funding, some subsidization from the federal government. But what actually seems to touch dirt, what actually seems to have an effect, is the local government. And I like the definition of government, which is anybody who has a monopoly on force within a given area, which means, hey, if it's your house, that's probably you who has the monopoly on force. So it's up to you to make sure that your house, your community, everybody around you is safe, and taking it to that level of personal responsibility. If we all did that, I think we'd all get along a lot better. But ultimately, the federal government doesn't seem to have that big of an impact on us, except for spending a lot of our money and collecting a lot of our money. So let's move on to, speaking of them collecting a lot of our money, this morning I had a gentleman from Solar City come over to my house, and he pitched me on putting solar panels on my roof, which is pretty cool. Like, it's a pretty great technology, not overly expensive when you consider... it broken down into like monthly payments. So like, for example, my house was about $160 a month if we're talking payments for about 10 years, so which is a long time. But the thing that caught my eye was this solar install would cost about $20,000. And of that, they were claiming that about $7,500 was going to come from the federal government. And that caught my eye immediately. And I started thinking about these other companies that Elon Musk runs. So we've got Solar City. We've got Tesla, we've got SpaceX, right? So SpaceX is really paid for by NASA, which is paid for by, well, you. You pay for NASA. And so then the solar panel thing, if I'm getting $7,500 back from the federal government. Well, actually, that means I'm getting $7,500 of the solar panels paid for by you. You're paying for those. And all these people that are buying these really nice hybrid cars, well... they come with subsidies attached to them. And I understand why those subsidies are there. We want people to take care of the environment. But keep in mind that you're the one that is paying for that car. So these cars that can cost, let's say, $130,000, there's not very many people that can afford that. But keep in mind, you're actually paying for the rich people to be able to afford that.
As usual.
Yeah. I happen to own a couple properties. So I can put solar panels on my properties. But let's say you're not in that financial situation and you're renting. Well, unfortunately, you're going to be subsidizing people like me who already, I'm already ahead. Like, I'm already ahead of you, and poor people have to pay for my home improvements. Now, that's not to say that I couldn't do it alone, and the truth is I probably would do it alone. But these companies would be incentivized to figure out greater ways to compete and to lower prices if it wasn't subsidized by the poor. Ultimately, the poor are subsidizing the rich to be able to afford luxury cars and solar panels, which reduces my power bill every month. So I just thought it was a very, very interesting thing to look at. Now, I'm not saying that Elon Musk's companies are bad. I think, honestly, he might be our best hope in saving the world when it comes to things like climate change or getting to another planet or like huge, big, big problem scenarios. He's addressing them. He's going after them. And I really respect that. But the problem comes from where he's getting paid for by that, where his company is really surviving is on the backs of the poor, ultimately. Like, it's the poor people that are really fitting the bill for the rich people to have nice things, and you're going to see that wealth gap continue as long as we're okay with crony capitalism funding these companies. I don't want to see the companies go away. I just don't want them to be funded by people that aren't going to be using their services. I think that's wrong. And with that being said, I'm probably going to get solar panels. So,
there you go.
So thanks, everybody, for paying for this. Just wanted to thank you for fitting my bill. If I had the choice, which I guess I probably could. I could just not claim the deductions and stuff. If I had the choice, I would not take your money because I don't think that's the right thing to do. So we've got some conventions coming up.
Yes, we do.
Which is really, really cool. So, and they're coming up soon. January 27th is the Clark County Convention, and then the Washoe County Convention, that is January 28th.
Yes.
So if you want to learn more about those, go to our website, which is for each one, which is going to be clark.lpnevada.org or washoe.lpnevada.org, where you can get more information, you can find out how to show up. And if you haven't noticed, if you go to lpnevada.org, you're going to find all these social events that we're doing, these ways that you can get involved, whether that be in your time, your energy, your money. By the way, we love your money. So if you want to send us some of that, if it's just burning a hole in your pocket, we can do a lot with it. It goes a long ways. So anyways, you want to get involved, we would love that. And one way that you can get involved is come on down to one of these conventions, see what's going on. I think that was one of the first things I did. In fact, it was definitely the first thing I did. I just showed up at it. And that was the first time I saw you behind, first time I saw Alex was behind the table. And there was a bunch of pins and bumper stickers. And I kind of wanted a bumper sticker at the time. And now look at me, standing behind a microphone, telling you to show up. That's how we're going to grow. So
absolutely,
please make an appearance. And until next time, make it all about freedom.
This show is brought to you by the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Music is provided by T. Sims. Please support the show by subscribing, sharing it with friends, and leaving a positive review on iTunes. For more information or to learn how to get involved, visit lpnevada.org. Thank you for listening.